Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Today we have Chris and Becca Kennedy leading us into worship.
Dave Kingswood will be speaking on Dressing for the Fight, the intro, the Belt of Truth.
We are so excited to meet together as a church community, even though we can't meet each other physically.
Let's go for it this morning, expecting to meet God.
Today, on the back of more tough news around COVID and restrictions that the nation is facing to get us through it, we kick off with a timely new series called Dressing for the Fight, looking at a famous passage in Ephesians 6 that gives us this imagination boost of a picture, somebody dressed in armor, a picture of what it's like to be spiritually ready to live confidently for God in any and every circumstance. Now, perhaps more than ever, we need to find our strength and our security in God. And this new series is going to be one source that will help us to do exactly that. Many of you will already know and love Dave Kingswood, our speaker today. He oversees our teaching here at Welton and does an incredible job of providing us with speakers week by week that bring us truth from the Bible that we get to work into our lives. Dave is always aiming to bring a balanced diet of teaching that focuses on the up, out and in of church life, where we grow our love for God, the up, our love for one another, the in, and for those that don't yet know Jesus and have experienced the love of God themselves. So we're really grateful to Dave, who's going to be speaking today. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to be digging into this chapter in Ephesians, aiming to hear God's voice through the Bible. But not just to hear it, but then to live it and to talk about it, to ask one another, did it work? What have we discovered as we go back and we dig into that passage again? What is God doing in our lives? Just as a by the way, and an important by the way, if you're watching today and you've not yet invited God into your life, I want to be really upfront with you and say, I believe you're watching for a reason. And the biggest part of that reason is that God loves you so much that he laid his life down for you. So that everything that separates you from him right now, every barrier that you can think of and those that you can't think of, he can remove those, bringing you as close to God as you are to your screen right now. Everything you've ever done that you regret, that's hurt yourself or others or God, Jesus took all of that on himself when he chose to go to the cross, so that you can start a life of faith and of purpose with God. Is it the most authentic, fulfilling way of life? Yes, it is. Is it easy? No, it's not. You'll be ridiculed at times, even rejected by some, and your plans may change because God has better things he wants you to do with him. But you will feel the most free and the most at home with yourself you ever will. If that's you, I pray that today you make a start by saying, God, come into my life. And if it helps you to remember, here's a short prayer that sums it up. Fully forgive me, never leave me, and always lead me. And he will. Before we worship together today, many of you will know Hattie Coombs. She's one of our up-and-coming leaders here in our Welton Church family. She gave a great message on Christmas Day that some of you will have heard. In recent years, she's been a worship leader, one of our NFest leaders, and she's also helped to set up the Connect group for 18s to 25s in the church. Some of you will have noticed that she's not been around the last few months, and so we're going to find out what she's been up to.
All right, Hattie, it is so nice to spend a bit of time with you, and we wanted to say a quick hello, ask you a couple of questions, and then look at how we can pray for you. So, Liz, why don't you ask the first question?
Yeah, hi, Hattie. First of all, where are you and what are you doing?
Hello, Matt and Liz. I am in Preston, which is in Lancashire, and at a church called Preston Minster, and I'm doing something called the Leadership Development Year, which is sort of like just being an intern and learning all about leadership and developing my skills in that.
That's brilliant.
Great.
Cool. What would you say has been your most rewarding experience or set of experiences so far? What are you really enjoying?
Yeah, I think every day there's a different challenge and I've learned lots already, but probably the biggest thing is sort of been given the opportunity to lead what we'd call a house group, but at Preston Minster we'd call just a group, which is just of students. So I think that's been really challenging because it's kind of been a bit thrown into the deep end with it. It's been really good though.
That's good.
That's great. Is there anything about Welton that you are missing?
Except from you, Matt and Liz. I think there's a big staff team here, and I think that means that there's less of a sense of everyone stepping up and helping out and getting stuck in. That I think at Welton is something that we've got nailed, just everybody takes part, helps out, and just really commits so much time to stuff. I think I miss that sense of sort of team spirit in that way.
You can definitely come back. It's good.
Oh, thanks. Am I let in now? Thanks.
That's what we can. We really do want to pray for you as a church, and we're super proud of what you're doing. Love it. Obviously, we really hope you come back and do some of this stuff with us. But between now and kind of the end of next academic year, what can we be praying for you?
I think just as I continue this year, trying to find my area that I'm really passionate about, the area that I can lead in, so that I can then kind of make decisions about my future. So yeah, just sort of finding my gifts and my passions. Thank you.
That sounds cool. We definitely want to be praying for you. Yeah. Thanks for taking a bit of time, and maybe we'll do it again in a few months' time and keep people updated. But yeah, for now, we'll be praying. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, see you soon. Bye.
Thanks ever so much, Hattie. And don't tell her, but I'm praying God leads her back to Welton to help lead our church into the future. In the light of the increased cases of COVID, we've taken the decision not to hold our community meetings during the month of January. For those who live in the Somerset, Bath, Mendip area, we've been meeting in a COVID-secure way during this last year in four different locations, a couple of times a month when we've been able to. And we're hoping to do this again in February or as soon as we possibly can. We will keep you posted on that. We want you to know, especially as we've moved back into lockdown, that we as leaders at Welton are fully committed to being both pioneering and wise. And those things, they're not mutually exclusive. We need to remember there are bigger things to fear than COVID. And actually, we're never going to be driven or directed by fear. So we're not in any way saying church and mission is on pause. It's not. In fact, we see the coming weeks as a time when we need to step up to be examples of authentic lives of hope to those around us. Back at the start of the pandemic, we set up this team called Welton at Home, just to help with practical things like shopping, collecting prescriptions, maybe having somebody to chat to over the phone. And Welton at Home is ready again. And if you need support, we will do all that we can to help. The email address is at the bottom, and you can always watch this YouTube video again if you miss it, or you can head to the website where you'll find the information there. Right now, we're going to worship with our voices, our minds as we think about the words we're reading, and with our hearts as we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal more of who God is to us as we worship Him. Is it more difficult to do this at home? Yes, but here's a strategy you might want to try. Whatever volume your TV or phone or iPad is set to, just turn it up and really go for it. Today, we have Chris and Becca leading us in worship. And like all of our worship leaders at Welton, they love Jesus. And so they love leading a bunch of others to do the same. It says in Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Let's remember right at the beginning who we're praising today and push through any barriers in our way. Lord, you are great and most worthy of our praise.
Good morning, everyone, and I hope you're doing okay. Today, we're going to be starting out on a journey through a passage in the book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians is a letter that was written by a man named Paul. But it's different from many of the other letters that he sent to believers in their towns and cities around the time that he was writing. Normally, Paul is quite personal in his writing, but this is more like an open letter to all believers so that they could learn from what Paul was wanting to teach them. In the opening passages of this book, Paul gives advice on family, on relationships, and how to be united as a church, and most importantly, how to emulate God's character as representatives of Jesus. Now, all of this is done in a way that the Ephesians would understand, because Paul was incredible at linking the cultures that people were in and then tying that in with godly truths around stuff that people understood in their day-to-day lives. So when he talks about how to adhere to these standards or how to live for God, he talks to them particularly in a military context. Ephesians 6 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Now, Paul quite brilliantly talks to these new believers in a way that they would understand because they saw the image on every street corner. The Roman soldier dressed just like the list of items that Paul mentions above. Not only that, but he's taking that image of the soldier and he is applying what the soldier stands for. Now, in the Roman context, he is there to be a visual reminder of the power of the emperor and to keep the values of Rome upheld with force if necessary, so that the empire is respected and maintains power. Likewise, Paul refers to the kingdom of God in the same way, but instead transfers where the real fight is from the world to the heavenlies. Evil, he says, are spiritual forces and we have to get dressed for the fight. Now, the difference between the Roman Empire and the forces that Paul is talking about are that the Romans loved to be visual. They would broadcast their wins and their presence wherever they could. However, Paul is asking for new eyes to see where it all comes from. He is inviting us to look behind the curtain at the strings that really run this world. This is the fight that God himself is involved with, Paul says. And as the old saying goes, the best trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people that he didn't exist, and so we don't see it. This fight is hidden, and yet we can see the effect of it everywhere, can't we? "Stand firm then," he says, "with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Truth is a loaded word these days. Sometimes we even talk about living in a post-truth world. But Paul is reminding us that there is a truth that we can operate from. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." Ephesians 4:14 says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." You see, the belt is the image of what holds everything together. It is at the center of the image of the armour. You attach things to it. The truth, who we attach to, is Jesus. He is the test of all that comes our way, and the belt is the picture of not only the middle of the armour, but in its original usage it means dressed and ready for service and prepared for action. The truth of Jesus essentially is the place that we fight from. It is this truth that we come together as brothers and sisters in our charge together. I want to give you three more thoughts here, which you need to think about as we get into our next few weeks of teaching together. Now, I managed to get on a flight over the summer holidays to Granada with my family to go and see the Whites. And I was listening to the air hostess, and she was doing her thing of telling us what to do in the event of a crash. Now, I realised after a while that I was hardly concentrating on what she was saying, maybe because I'd heard it so many times before, and I was bored and distracted, and I was completely apathetic about her talk. You see, her talk only mattered if the plane crashed, and it hardly ever does, so why should I care? Now, here was a lady giving me the tools that I needed to survive a crash, and I couldn't be bothered to refresh myself with where the exits were. Now, I think there's something here about how apathetic we are about the spiritual fight. Because we can't see it, and maybe because we can't feel it, why should we worry? But Paul is reminding us, pay attention, you need to be ready, because today these words could be the very truth that you need to help you. Be very wary if you're engaged with church life and your faith, and you're not involved in some fight, whether it be prayer, social justice, worship, or whatever. You know, if you find yourself hearing talks and they're sliding off of you, if you spend more time hearing other people's testimonies than making ones of your own, if you find that you're glad that someone is doing something but you're not involved yourself, be careful, because you might be missing where you're meant to be fighting. Secondly, be ready to go when Jesus says so. The Guardian reported a while back that if Patrick Hutchinson had a penny for every time someone had asked him whether he got a thank you from the man whose life he saved, he said he'd be a very rich man. And if I had another penny for the shocked expression I get when I say I haven't heard a word from him, I'd be a lot richer, he said. Patrick is a physical trainer and was passionate about keeping people safe at the Black Lives Matter rallies that happened across the country. Despite warnings to stay away, the 50-year-old father and grandfather of three says that he and four friends specifically went to London on the day of one of the protests, just in case. The day had been ugly with tension. Protesters rallied by Tommy Robinson, who then failed to appear himself, descended on central London. Racist chants were being yelled out across Trafalgar Square, and they were being broadcast all over social media, and violence simmered in the air. It was heavy going, said Hutchinson. Me and some friends had already stopped three other incidents from happening before we even got to Waterloo Bridge. Now, Hutchinson and his friends are real fitness buffs, and they've had years of martial arts training. And they'd formed a group called ARC Security to protect young protesters from getting caught up in violence. But they didn't expect to have to save 55-year-old Bryn Mayall, a retired transport police officer, a Millwall FC football fan who had been reportedly drinking heavily before he was abandoned by his friends and injured in the fray. I always like to hear the stories where somebody's life has been changed, Patrick said, but I didn't think I could have the same effect. Now, here is a man who went out into a fight and picked up a man who believed in everything that Patrick didn't. Isn't this one of the most beautiful images of what it is to fight for Jesus? To walk into injustice in this world and love the people who are against us? Is there not a greater image of principalities and powers being smashed down? This man, at risk to himself, loved his enemy because it was the right thing to do. Patrick finished the article by saying this: some people have asked me why I bothered saving him, and I do understand their frustration. But my natural instinct is to protect the vulnerable. If that man had died, the whole Black Lives Matter movement would have been torpedoed. Young black men would have gone to prison and had their lives ruined. I wasn't just protecting that guy. I was protecting us. Patrick's example to us is that if we don't fight, then we're not only not protecting the vulnerable, but we're not advancing the kingdom either. Thirdly, we need soldiers for our fight. Now, when I was growing up, I used to love watching Blackadder. And one of the big jokes in the fourth series about the First World War was that the generals would always be saying how they wish they were on the front line and going over the top with all the other lads. But the whole subtext was that they were safe, comfortable, and had no desire to be in the firing line. Now, Paul's writing is interesting. He doesn't seem to write to a congregation and exclude the leaders. He doesn't single out a hierarchy in the Ephesian church. He's speaking to everybody who is a believer. It's all our fight. We're all in the trench. And actually, there's a real beauty in that. Because when you lose a day, my brother, I feel that loss with you. And when you win today, sister, I cheer with you. And you own that. I found an old story from Africa the other day that describes it well. An anthropologist proposed a game to some kids in a tribe. He put a basket of fruit near a tree and told them that whoever got there first would win the sweet fruits. When he gave them the signal to run, they all took each other's hands and they ran together, then sat in a circle enjoying their treats. When he asked them why they chose to run as a group when one of them could have had the fruit individually, one child spoke up and said, "Ubuntu. How could one of us be happy if all the others are sad?" Ubuntu in their culture means I am because we are. We are in this together. We are in the same fight. So I wonder what we would do if we received a letter like this from Paul for our church. What does it look like for us to dress for the fight in our day and age? What does that look like for you? Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at each of the elements of armour and think around them and hopefully hear from God on each of them as well. But here's my last question for you today. Which fight are you in and how are you daily getting dressed into your armour ready for it? The forces of evil are just as strong today as they were then. Surely it's time for us to suit up again and bring, as Paul says, the mystery of the gospel into our world. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. We so appreciate your teaching and how you grow our hunger for God's word. Before we take communion today, I'd like us to listen to a song that Katie, one of our church family, wrote this week, sensing it's for us as a local church. And I think she's spot on. I've listened to this a bunch of times now, and I really believe there's something of God's heart for us to get hold of, to be people that don't rely on what's been before, or even the things that we know we can do well, but people that pray and listen to the voice of God and respond to him because he's doing a new thing. And I really don't want to miss it. To come afresh to God in prayer and say, "Lord, even if I could do all of this without you, I choose not to. I need you." Just to say, this is not a performance. It's somebody worshiping in their home, in the midst of lockdown, kids in the background, no professional recording equipment. And no apology. I wrote earlier this week in an email to our church family, I feel so convicted that this year, it's not about us being polished. It's about us growing our hunger for God and what he's doing in us and through us. So let me encourage you as we listen, just allow God's spirit to connect with you. Just let God be God.
I hear the sound of the time.
A huge thanks to Katie for being obedient and willing to share this anointed song. We're really grateful. You know, I love it when God raises up writers within local churches. There's something so powerful about songs written for a group of believers in that moment to get hold of. And I hope it's the first of many more. We're about to take communion together. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, we'd love you to join us. Just find some bread and juice or drink of some description. And we're going to join in about a minute's time with millions of other believers around the world doing the same thing. Just a couple of things you might notice. Firstly, we're going to stay on YouTube rather than jumping over to Zoom. And there's a bunch of us in the church who've struggled a little bit with that kind of move from YouTube to Zoom and to take communion. So just as a one-off to be as inclusive as we can. And we're going to do this on YouTube today. Also, the detectives among you will notice that Liz, Alice and I, we're sat in the sun. No, we didn't fly to the south of France for this occasion. It was a few months back, but we did feel the focus was right for today. And as we enter this time of communion, we're going to be looking at a defiance and a joy that kind of come together when the enemy is putting the pressure on that we say, no, we're going to stand today in the presence of God and celebrate who he is. We're going to be taking communion together, but first let's stop just to reflect and think about what it actually means. Obviously, communion has a huge number of meanings. Today, we want to focus on just a couple, two that may seem unrelated, but actually they're entirely connected. We want to think about joy and defiance. The dictionary says this about joy. It says, the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure, elation. We have this joy that we are one in Christ. We have a God who hears every single prayer. We're never alone. Even when we grieve, we know that it won't last forever, that one day we will worship, sing, celebrate together. It's a joy that's deeper than happiness, which comes from the word circumstance and is dependent on what's going on around us. Joy is different. It depends on what's going on inside of us. What about defiance? The dictionary says this, a daring or bold resistance to an authority or an opposing force. The blood of Jesus says that we're part of God's master plan, his rescue plan that the cross has initiated, which says that we're not guilty. It says that God has done everything needed to show the full extent of his love. So that no matter how unworthy we may feel of it, we are still loved by God. It says that whatever the enemy would do to divide us, we're not going to be divided or reduced or silenced. We speak with the authority
of Jesus, and we speak in defiance against the enemy as one. So as we take communion, it's a declaration of joy that can't be taken away, and it's a defiance against the enemy who wants to restrict, to rob, and to rule. It's a yes to God and everything he wants for us, and a no to the enemy. Alice is going to read these precious words that invite us to sit with God today at his communion table, not just to reflect on joy and defiance, but to actually experience them and to live them, for them to rise up inside of us. So Alice is going to read from 1 Corinthians 11.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's pray together.
Lord, we thank you that your body was broken, not for me alone, but for all of those around me who know you and love you and are yet to know you and love you. We pray today that being connected together and connected to you would cause a deep joy to be rekindled in us. And for those who are feeling anything but joy, we pray that you would reach into our lives and remind us that we are yours, and that you will lead us through the storm to safety. Give us a joy that acknowledges where we are headed as well as where we are. You are in both, and you give deep joy as we sit with you. Let's take the bread together and receive from God as we do.
Alice is going to continue reading, and before we pray and take the wine together.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Let's drink together. Let's pray. Lord, on the cross, your love conquered death, fear, and everything that stands against you and against us, your sons and daughters. So today, in faith, we receive that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and we pray that you would strengthen our resolve against the enemy, to be discerning and passionate about seeing your victory against fear, injustice, and loneliness in our lives and in the lives of others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be quiet for a moment and just to form your own prayers of thanks for the joy of God, and also for that ability to stand against the enemy. Let's also, after we've done that, let's just pray and bring any others to God that need to do either or both of these things to experience the joy of God or to take their stand. So bring those people to mind as well as we pray. So let's just be quiet for a moment. Lord, your resurrection means that nothing is beyond your reach, that everything can be redeemed. And together we thank you that we've been able to eat and drink in your presence and with each other. And we ask that as we trust you, that we would expect to see you move in power in us and through us. This week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you'd like to find out more about Jesus and what it means to follow him, we would love to chat with you. Get in contact by email at the address below. If you'd like to know more about the church, then we'd love to chat with you, or you can find out more at our website, where you'll see stuff on mission, young people, how we're growing as disciples across the generations. For now, thank you so much for being with us, and God bless.